Good morning, and thanks for waiting. Welcome to Bank of Pines conference call to discuss the results for year 2025. With us today are Rodrigo Pinheiro, Roberto Pinheiro Jr., and Cleve Botelho, members of the bank's executive committee. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the Bank of Pines presentation. After the presentation, we'll begin the Q&A session for analysts and investors. We would like to remind you that the webcast participants may submit questions to Bank of Pines via the Q&A feature, which will be answered at the end of the presentation. Now, I will turn the floor over to Mr. Roberto Pinheiro Jr., who will begin the presentation. Please, Roberto, you may proceed. Good morning and welcome to the results presentation for 2025. 2025 is the beginning of a new cycle of high profitability sustained by the execution of the strategy and an increasingly capital allocation, as well as a diversified model across multiple credit lines. In collateralized retail, we have consistently advanced with the consolidation of private payroll loans and the expansion of payroll and benefit cards. Digital, collateralized, and scalable products have expanded our client base, increased profitability, and increased operational efficiency, supported by data and technology. Strategic moves in our invested companies have simplified the corporate structure and strengthened cash generation. In wholesale, we maintained a selective approach to corporate credit, preserving the quality of our portfolio and originating attractive capital allocation opportunities. Derivatives, insurance, and capital markets gained scale, expanding cross-selling, revenue recurrence, and our origination and distribution capacity. Throughout the year, we diversified our funding sources, reduced our cost of funding, and advanced in technology, data, and AI. We keep on generating value, and the diversification strategy will keep on bringing about good results. We will begin by presenting the highlights of this period in slide four. We ended the year with a recurring net income that hit a record high of 379.6 million reais and an annualized ROE of 29.3%, a result of the expansion of the financial margin due to a bigger credit portfolio and the spread margin, especially in retail, through the remixing of portfolios and the operation of payroll deduction and the operation of the payrolls and benefits, where there is a bigger spread for us, in addition to the evolution in or to a greater revenue in service provision. The net profit of the period was positively impacted in the fourth quarter due to strategic movement in Pine Holding, which we'll explain later, reaching a net income of 443.6 million reais with an ROE of 33.4%. The expanded credit portfolio, which totaled 17.7 billion reais, an increase of 23.9% when compared to December of 2024, due to the remix of the collateralized portfolio for retail with 4.1 billion in private and 813 million from cards, consolidating a model of multiple pipelines, advancing even further the allocation of efficient capital, looking for greater spreads and greater returns associated to risk, and resuming the growth of the portfolio of large companies as well. Concerning funding, we ended the period even more diversified with a total of resources of 21.2 billion reais, representing a growth of 21% vis-à-vis 2024, an adequate level to sustain the expansion of our businesses. The reference or the regulatory capital ended December at 2.2 billion reais, representing an annual growth of 29%. A result of the expansion of the businesses and the results of the bank and the strengthening of our capital. The total Basel index ended the period at 15%, and the Tier 1 reached 11.3%, reflecting efficiency in capital allocation. In slide number six, we will present our businesses. The bank is positioned in the verticals of collateralized retail, where we operate with payroll loans and private payroll, and in the public sector via payroll loans and credit cards. We operate in three spheres: INSS, FGTS, and public entities, focusing on high value-added products with an adequate return adjusted to risk. In wholesale, we act selectively in consolidated sectors that represent the Brazilian GDP. In supplementary activities, we have our insurance vertical that operates both for the retail and the wholesale verticals, and for treasury and funding, which give full support to the business areas. Next slide, please. This is our expanded credit portfolio that reached 17.7 billion in December, a 24% increase vis-à-vis December 2024. The period was marked by a remix in the collateralized retail portfolio, with a highlight to an advance of 4.1 billion in private and 813 million in cards, consolidating the multiple pipeline strategy and capital allocation, looking for better credit lines and better return adjusted to risk, and resuming the growth of the portfolio. The sectoral distribution of the expanded portfolio now: public payroll now alone represent 43% of the portfolio, private payroll loan 24%, agribusiness 17%, real estate 7%, and 9% are distributed among the other sectors, demonstrating the diversification of our portfolio. The over 90 index of the expanded portfolio showed an increase vis-à-vis last year, led by the maturity of the collateralized portfolio in retail. The growth of over 90 is expected given the positive evolution of the yield strategy. As you can see in the expansion of NIM, the wholesale ended the quarter at 0.7%, showing efficacy in the strategy, and collateralized retail at 2.7%. We ended December at 3.9% of operations in stage three, with a coverage ratio of 115%. These indicators demonstrate our diligence in credit, when granting credit, and the strength of our portfolio. Now I'll give the floor to Cliff, who'll talk about the collateralized retail portfolio. Thank you, and good morning, everyone. We'll start with the collateralized retail portfolio, which ended December 2025 at 10.6 billion, a growth of 37% vis-a-vis the previous year. Our strategy has been clear and accurate. We are fostering yield through a greater diversification and a significant advance in collateralized retail, where we are pioneers in the private payroll loans market. This initiative allowed us to build a base with over 3 million clients in partnership with over 100 public entities. We operate with the use of digital platforms, mobile apps, and web channels to allow for better customer service and a quick and integrated origination of financial products. We operate in a highly scalable payroll loan market with a potential base of 100 million customers, including public employees and INSS. The private segment, which surpasses 100 billion reais, has a potential scale comparable to the public employee market, which exceeds 380 billion nowadays. Our expansion of the private market is consistent based on a product that's 100% digital, collateralized, and scalable, operating with our own platforms, guaranteeing an attractive profitability adjusted to risk. A proof of that is our client database, which has over 1.4 million clients. The profit sharing models complement the digital experience. We have 13 strategic partners in retail with 356 branches. At the same time, we are strategically recomposing our public payroll loan and the product. And in the other segments, the portfolio is equally precise, having surpassed 813 million reais with over 200,000 clients. The growth in our own origination was 234% as a direct impact of our digital pipeline and the intensive use of data and technology. To strengthen the long-term relationship, we will advance even further in the yield sector with the integration of products and cross-sell, with partnerships with wholesalers, with retailers that will increase the attractiveness and the use of our cards without increasing exposure to credit risk. In addition to that, we'll also create incentives for customers to use the payroll loans margins in purchases, which will increase the transactional volume. We'll also offer additional credit limits with no guarantees for cards linked to the accounts, which will allow for a growth that will be even greater than the regular margin, as always with a risk discipline. And we'll also improve access to credit limits with the evolution of our processing platforms, which will elevate user experience, who will use resources according to the regulatory norms. The next slide shows the results in retail investments. This slide shows the numbers related to retail investments for Pine Holding. We successfully concluded the strategic reorganization of our retail organization in Pine Holding, and now our focus is directed to scale and profitability. A fundamental milestone of this process was our full exit from BICS and the consolidation of 99.8% of Amigo Z, a transaction that we completed in January 2026. With this restructuring, we define a scalable driver for growth. It's a recurring, low-risk vertical, which positions us in a privileged position for the future. Our expansion strategy is based on expanding the use and monetization of our products without elevating credit risk. To do that, we are establishing partnerships with large retailers and creating incentives that foster the use of the payroll loan margin, resulting in a greater frequency of transactions. Additionally, we're also innovating in the offer of incremental credit, always with a look towards risk discipline. By integration with the account, we offer additional items that go beyond the traditional margin. In order to support this growth, our tech platform is in constant evolution. We're implementing improvements continually in margin processing and, above all, in the experience of our customers, guaranteeing a solid base for the future. Amigo Z is a dedicated fintech with a focus on collateralized cards and benefits, and it ended the period of 2025 with a portfolio of 113 million vis-a-vis 196 million in 2024 as a result of the consolidation and increased scale in the operation. Also, a result in the regulatory capital, which also increased when compared to December 2024. Now I'll give the floor to Rodrigo, who will talk about the evolution of our wholesale corporate credit portfolio. Good morning. Thank you. The portfolio reached 7.1 billion in December 25, an increase of 19% vis-à-vis December 2024. This growth is due to the expansion of 39% of large companies' portfolios, where we've seen better opportunities for margin and cross-sell. We keep on searching or chasing the sustainable growth of our portfolio, consolidating this model of multiple pipelines with a focus on agribusiness and real estate, providing customized customer service through structured collateralized operations to our customers. We start this slide by presenting the sector distribution. We have the presence of dedicated teams in the GDP's most representative sectors, such as real estate and agribusiness, which, when added, represent 59% of the wholesale portfolio and 18% of the expanded portfolio. In agribusiness, where we have our biggest portfolio positioning, we have a robust and diversified operation with large participants of the sector that are present across all regions through offices that guarantee proximity and a direct relationship with the customers. This structure allows us to understand the specificities of each market and to operate with a high level of accuracy, which is reflected in the quality of the portfolios presented. Our operations encompass different agricultural structures, grain producers, cattle, sugar, alcohol, and other segments. Concerning the distribution by product, we keep on diversifying our portfolio. In December, 55% of the portfolio was allocated to private securities, 24% to working capital, and 6% in trade finance. At the bottom of the slide, we have our warranty coverage, which in December 2025, 87% of the wholesale portfolio was collateralized, demonstrating our continuous focus on structured operations with a guarantee. Our product penetration index reached December at 2.4 products per customer, as a testament to the effectiveness of our cross-selling strategy. Slide 16 shows our customer desk and service provisions. The customer desk showed consistent results contributing to diversification of revenue. The result is an impact of the increased cross-sell and volatility, especially in the currency market. We have a consolidated business that's growing, providing a hedge and exchange solutions to our customers. In the period, the desk operated with more than 239 customers, and it ended the period at 28.1 billion in national value of derivatives, having negotiated a total amount of 22.3 billion in FX. They were diversified between interests, currencies, and commodities, representing 39, 53, and 8% of the business results. This also shows our service provision revenue from wholesale, which reached 120.3 million in the period, a growth of 47% vis-à-vis the same period in the previous year, contributing to a diversification of non-credit revenues. With a highlight to the accelerated growth in the insurance operation, which offers several cross-selling opportunities, and which is reaping the fruit of the execution of the business strategy and to the results of the investors from a wholesale. In capital markets, we totaled 4.4 billion in issuances and structuring in the period. We issued two financial debentures totaling 2 billion of three RIFs, adding the or based on CCBs in INSS payroll deductions. And now we'll show the evolution of our funding and capital. Thank you, Rodrigo. We start slide 20 by showing the volume of funding that reached 21.2 billion in the quarter, a growth of 29% vis-à-vis the same period of the previous year. This growth allows us to give support to the bank's strategy and its credit portfolio. It's been effective in the search for diversification of our funding, which is demonstrated by the increased number of LCIs, LCAs, and also the collateralized retail, CDIs, CDBs, institutional products that are adequate to our target. Concerning the term at the bottom of the slide, we maintain a position that's in line with the conservative strategy of managing assets and liabilities with a positive gap of 3 months. We ended December of 2025 in a liquidity position that's comfortable, with a cash flow of 2.8 billion and a short-term liquidity index of 345% and a structural liquidity index in our NSFR of 183%. Our total Basel index reached the 15% by the end of 2025, with a Tier 1 of 11.3%, a substantial increase vis-à-vis December 2024. In spite of the expressive growth in the credit portfolio, a result of the anticipated growth of capital that's been preparing the bank for planned growth. Now I'll give the floor back to Norberto, who will present our financial performance. Thank you, Cleve. Slide 22, please. In the period, we had a growth of all operational indicators, which reflects the solidity of our execution and diversification of our strategy. The first graph shows the evolution of net profit, hitting a record of quarterly profit, ending the quarter at with a growth of 78% vis-à-vis December 2024, with an annualized ROE of 103.6%. In the year, we also reached operational profit records with an annualized ROE of 29.3%. The net revenue of the period was positively impacted in the fourth quarter of 2025 due to the strategic movements of Pine Holding. And with those results, a net result of the period was 443.6 million and the ROE of 33.4%. These indicators are a result of the operational improvement of the bank and of the expressive increase in the generation of revenue across all lines and business segments. Now, I'll talk about the operational results, which totaled 712 million reais in the period, 105% greater than the previous year, especially due to the increase in revenue and expanded scale and productivity. At the bottom of the slide, the graph demonstrates the composition of our revenue. 64% of our revenue in the year came from retail and 36% from wholesale. In retail, we have the revenue by breakdown by portfolio, insurance, and the investment results. In wholesale, we have also a breakdown by revenues, client desks, and advisory services, insurances, structured operations, and more recently, an investment by Pine Capital, which gives us even greater diversification. In this mix of revenues and diversification of businesses, we reached a greater capacity to navigate different cycles of the economy. Lastly, I will talk about our operating expenses in the period, which had an adequate growth vis-à-vis 2024 when compared to the gain of scale that we achieved across all business lines. I'd like to highlight that our non-credit revenues, comprised by the customer desk, cover the total amount of our expenses with HR and administrative expenses, reaching an efficiency index of 30.3% vis-à-vis 38.2% of the previous year, which is a testament to our discipline. In a nutshell, the year was quite transformative for the bank. In a still challenging macroeconomic environment, we have delivered relevant growth, efficiency gains, and strategic evolution with a focus on technology and optimization across all our business lines. And we keep on being quite confident and constructive about a year 2026, with a multiple credit pipeline and diversified portfolios and extremely engaged and aligned teams and an active management of risks and capital. And we'll keep on chasing good results that are resilient, recurrent, and generating value across different periods of the economic cycle. Thank you so much for your attention. And now we will start the Q&A session. We'll now start the Q&A session. In order to submit a question, please access the Q&A feature on Zoom. The first question comes from BTG, from Luis Carlos. Good morning, and thanks for the opportunity to ask a question. I'd like to have an update about the losses in the private payroll credit in the fourth quarter and the beginning of the first Q. Also, an update about the losses of the product right now. I understand that we have two important evolutions to consolidate in private this year. One of them is the formalization of guarantees, and the other is the capacity to process payments in under 30 days. So it would be interesting to understand how these two aspects have been evolving. Please, Cliff, you have the floor. Good morning. Thank you for your question. Well, what evolved in the fourth quarter? Well, we had an evolution in our collection actions. Pine was one of the first banks to operate with private payroll loans. And now we have been reaching 94% already. Concerning the fourth Q and first Q payrolls, they are still similar. And by similar, I mean that we predict receiving 100. On average, we receive 85%, and gradually we start activating the collection activities. And the first batch is at 94%, therefore. Well, we think that in terms of the maturity of this product, it has its own delay. And what we expect is a greater maturity. And there's three important evolutions that will happen over the course of this first half. And these are, first, the company having the capacity to pay the slip of the payroll the payroll loans in arrears that will generate a positive funding. Also, applying penalties, we will starting will be starting to apply penalties to companies that are not transferring the payroll loans to workers if these workers are not linked to the company. So an effective penalization according to what happens with FGTS, that will be significant. And lastly, and obviously, the guarantees of FGTS, the two guarantees of FGTS, when they are attached systemically, 10% of the balance and the termination fees, that will be relevant as well. Maybe the first two ones will happen by March or April, and the FGTS guarantee probably in July. Thank you, Cliff. Next question from Eric Ito from Bradesco BBI. Good morning. Congratulations on the results and the journey. An ROE of 37% and the quarter is impressive. I have two questions. Concerning the NIM with a strong acceleration in the quarter, can you share if there's more expected gains and what's the recurring level? The second one about your main expectations for 2026. Maybe you can give us a breakdown about the portfolio margin provision. That will be helpful. And a third one, the wholesale portfolio has showed a good acceleration in the quarter by quarter perspective. How do you expect, what do you expect for 2026? And what about the public payroll loans? What to expect for that after a few pressures for 2026? So, Norberto, you have the floor. Hi, Eric. Good morning. Thank you for your questions. The ROE of the fourth quarter was really strong. The bank started to operate at a new structural level and profitability level, and we're quite confident in that. Concerning NIM, the structural and situational status lead us to believe that we'll keep on having a healthy NIMs, the risk-adjusted NIM. Also, in spite of a greater provision in credit resources, we'll keep on expanding. And our expectation is to keep on growing and improving the portfolio mix as we've been doing, which will probably also keep on sustaining the evolution of the NIM moving forward. And to your third question about wholesale, Well, it's a segment that grows more opportunistically, so to speak, as we find opportunities to allocate capital in a secure and profitable way. We've been having good demand for specific operations from some sectors. We don't have the projected growth for this portfolio here. About the public payroll loans, your last question, will keep on growing steadily in the segment. We have more than 100 public entities. We've increased our database. We'll keep on growing in benefits and the cards, the payroll deduction cards, and we'll start 2026 with a strong credit origination as well. As for the growth in the number of INSS beneficiaries, we'll also see a strong advancement forward given what we saw in 2025, which solidified the product, making it more secure. We're quite optimistic about the growth of this business front. And we always try to use the capital market to recycle portfolios. Thank you very much. Thank you, Norberto. As a reminder, to submit a question, simply access the Q&A button on Zoom. The next question is from Daniel Maes from Safra. Hi, Norberto, Cleve, and Rodrigo. Congratulations on the results. It was a great job with a profitability of over 30% in the year, which is impressive. I have a question about wholesale. Agribusiness has shown a great volatility, especially with some crops and regions. By looking at Pine's portfolio, we see a diversification of the crops and sectors with derivative operations and a portfolio comprised basically of private bonds and large companies, which basically is unlinked from smaller producers. And what's the perspective of the bank to expand at this pace in 2026, given that this portfolio had a good acceleration in the last quarter of 2025? Norberto, you have the floor. Thank you, Danielle. As I mentioned, we've been finding good opportunities in some segments. And this is a diversified portfolio, as you said yourself, with an average ticket of millions of reais, quite diversified in crops. And the growth of this portfolio, not only in this sector, but also in other sectors, is always subject to the opportunities that we come across. Thank you, Danielle. Thank you, Norberto. As a reminder, to submit a question, simply access the Q&A. The next question comes from Carlo Duke from Itaú BBA. Can you talk about the dynamics of business credit for companies? How do you see the profitability of provisions and spread? And looking at 2026, what will be the growth of the segments? Please, Cliff. Good morning. Well, we're still being quite selective and opportunistic. And obviously, there'll be a cycle of compressed after a cycle of compressed prices, things tend to improve. We've been practicing spreads in this more selective world. These spreads are attractive in terms of opportunities and cross-selling opportunities. But looking at 2026, the situation is still quite selective, given that we're still talking about a restrictive interest quadrant. We can't give you any forecasts for growth, but we should keep an eye out for opportunities. Thank you, Cleve. As a reminder, to submit a question, simply access the Q&A feature on Zoom. Next question comes from Ricardo Buspig from BTG. I have another question. I'd like to hear from you with great in greater detail how you see the unit economics of a private payroll loan. Assuming an expected loss of 10%, we can reach a ROL of 8% or even greater, but there is also operational costs. So I'd like to have an idea of what do you expect from the products and the marginal costs as the portfolio grows. How we can improve the client acquisition costs in private payroll loans. Cleve, you have the floor. That's a great question, Ricardo. Well, the way we're operating by deducting the client acquisition costs, our ratio oscillates between 4.30, 4.50 per month after deduction of the acquisition costs. So if we consider a loss of 10%, we still have an operation even after deducting the PX costs. I'm talking about CDI plus. We're talking about an operation of CDI plus 30 at the current levels. And obviously, if improvements happen, the acquisition rate will probably drop, but the expected loss will not be in levels of 10% at the same time. And this is a highly scalable product. So the costs of serving and the costs of acquisition, the cost of serving is lower because it's 100% digital. And in the acquisition of a customer, it oscillates between 6% and 8% in terms of acquisition costs. Thank you, Cleve.
Hi.
Next question is from Pedro Archer from Springs Capital. Good morning and congratulations on the results. Throughout the year, we saw a very relevant transformation in the bank's results, fostered by a change in the mix of the portfolio. The private payroll portfolio has grown by quite a bit. What's the potential that you see for this product? And what about the competition now with more banks participating? Roberto, you have the floor. Good morning. Thank you, Pedro. We indeed grew quite a bit in this segment with the portfolio surpassing 4 billion, and we intend to keep on growing in this segment. This portfolio has reached approximately 30% of the total credit portfolio, or we expect it to reach 30% of the total credit portfolio of the bank by the end of this year. The competition indeed does exist since the creation of the product. And as Cleve already mentioned, this is a highly scalable product where, in the beginning of a transformation of credit for workers and its portfolio that has only now reached 100 million and 100 billion, and it's moving towards 400 billion here. So there's room for everybody. As we also said, there is operational aspects that are still being solved. But it is a highly profitable operation, and we were one of the first banks to operate in this segment. So our advantage is that we have a high number of customers. The growth of the portfolio in the last quarter slowed down, but not due to origination. It's due to the fact that in the beginning of these operations, we were more conservative, originating a shorter credit. And now this portfolio is going through an elongation as months go by and as we make more alignments to the product when it comes to credit risk. Thank you. Thank you, Noberto. Next question from Pedro Calisto. Good morning and congratulations on the results. Can we consider that the recurring results of the fourth quarter of 2025 is the minimum for future results? Thank you, Pedro. Well, definitely the reported ROE is recurring, generating scale. And we've been investing in technology and our teams and etc. And we'll keep on having a very healthy ROIs moving forward. We're quite confident in the 30 plus for the ROI moving forward, the ROE moving forward. Thank you. Thank you, Noberto. The next question from Daniel Postes. The INSS payroll had a drop of 22.3% in the year due to greater rigor from the government in contracting. Given that it still has a high relevance in the credit portfolio, how does Pine expect to revert this portfolio of greater difficulties in hiring this line of credit? Good morning, Daniel. That's a great question. The year 2025, this new digital journey with facial recognition, led to a decrease in the origination. And now we are facing a system capacity issue because for each payroll, retirees, if they want to hire a new loan or a new card, they need to unblock it. But the biometric data is there. So the INSS is now expanding their capacity to cater to this demand. And we expect this to become a normalized INSS. It will probably have a significant cost. Last year, we started with a volume of 171 billion in the system and ended at 280. So there is a rotation in the solid growth, and also there was an increase in the minimum wage. So during the year, we expect to see a growing number of INSS originations. And also, digitalization at the end of the day will be important for the system. The more digitalization, the better for everybody. And it strengthens our operations even further. Thank you, Cleve. Next question from Cristiano de Moraes. Good morning, and thank you. Congratulations on the results. With the growing results of the bank, how do you expect to balance out dividends and capital allocation? Do you expect to see any changes, Roberto? Please. Thank you, Cristiano. Well, capital allocation is the core of our strategy, and it couldn't be any different. We've been looking at all of our capital indicators. We ended the year with a Basel index of 15% and 11.3%. And we'll keep on distributing close to the regulatory levels of 25% or very close to that. The ROE, we had seen a very attractive ROE, and it's much more attractive than any other alternative for capital allocation outside of the bank or any other investment. Thank you, Norberto. Thank you. As a reminder, to submit a question, simply access the Q&A feature on Zoom. This concludes our question and answer session. We'd like to thank everybody for participating in Banco Pan's earnings conference call. Our investor relations team is available for any further clarification. We wish you a great day. Thank you.